Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
One time I heard a guy say, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And so this is a heart problem. If you're a lukewarm Christian, it's not that you're not performing good enough. It's not that you don't have enough, that you don't know enough Bible, that you haven't been to enough church services. You got to get past the checklists. This is about a personal relationship that you're missing.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And with that, we're off to the races, and I want to just immediately give props to the guy sitting in the co-pilot chair today. His name is Wes Belk. Brother, tell the truth seekers you said hello.
Hello again, truth seekers. Good to be with you.
3 weeks in a row right here in the Truth Infusion studio nestled deep into the piney woods of northeast Texas. Here cometh the word. Amen. If the Holy Spirit will bless us to do it.
He has been faithful.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks have been great. Very challenging if you really want to pay attention to what's being brought out. So first encouragement is this. If you've missed the last 2 weeks with Wes and I teaching through a series that we've entitled The Lukewarm Christian, please go back to truthinfusion.com, truthinfusion.com, and the first two shows will be right there waiting for you on the broadcast page. And catch up with that. We'll give you a quick review as to what we've been talking about. What is a lukewarm Christian? What does that mean? And we're not going to speak on that for very long because we really got to spend some time on the good stuff today, man. And, you know, we've taken our whooping, and we'll talk about that maybe even because Jesus talks about that in the verse here in Revelation chapter 3, and let that lead us right into just the love of Christ and the benefits of relationship. And that's really what the whole goal of this series is about, to get to this part right here.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, right. That's what it's all about, man. That's the good stuff. So let's pray, Wes. And I've had you do it for the last 2 weeks, so I'm going to pray today. And then I'll let you kind of just dive into a quick synopsis of the concept of the lukewarm Christian as Jesus wrote this letter in Revelation chapter 3. And then we'll move forward. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be yours, to be used by you. God, this isn't for Truth Infusion Ministries that we are doing this. It's not for David and Wes that this word has been, well, it's been ministering to me, but Lord, you know who's out there that needs to hear this. And they may be listening on the radio right now, or perhaps listening via their phone through the internet, or maybe somewhere around the world. Somebody we'll never see until we get to glory one day. And Lord, you know all about their situation and what they need, so we just turn this time over to you, just gladfully, and ask that you would be the teacher today, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Wes, amen. Catch us up.
So in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Jesus tells us, you know, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was actually 15, 16, and 17.
Okay,
so
right.
Lukewarm, just, man, I'm comfortable where I am. I don't really want to be on fire and being fanatic for Jesus. I don't really want to be over here and be cold and dark. I just kind of want to be comfortable.
I want what I want.
I want what I want. I want to be where I want to be. And I want to be a little bit of everything to where everybody likes me.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to be because he says, you've said it a couple times throughout the last couple of weeks, you can't be of the world. You're going to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to be of the world,
right,
or like the world.
Right.
So,
and I think the lukewarm Christian is a worldly Christian.
Yes.
Is a worldly Christian because You know, I say this a lot when I'm doing some one-on-one counseling or some group Bible study. The Word of God doesn't normally ever give us a third rail to ride on. This goes for so many different kinds of Bible studies. Usually, he says it like this: here's my way, and here's every other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Jesus is doing. He is showing two pathways here. And there's another, there's Jesus in Matthew somewhere or another giving the idea or the concept of a narrow path and a wide path. And here he is talking to this whole church and saying, all of you think you got it going on, but you need to get real because you're playing a game. And you're not hot, you're not cold, you're in the nauseated middle ground. You're making me sick, and I'm ready to spew you out of my mouth. I'm ready to throw you up, which is a bad place to be, man. Here's what Jesus is saying to this church: you're about as valuable to me as throw up.
That's just terrifying.
That's graphically terrifying.
Yes.
To be the person in that place, especially when we're not talking about the bum on the in the back alley or the prostitute on the corner. He's talking about the guy in the three-piece suit in the church house on Sunday morning.
That's right.
Who's playing a Jesus game, and God's not mocked and he's not deceived.
To me, it was the guy that was on a deer stand or in a fishing boat or on a golf course or softball field saying, it's Sunday morning. I went last three times. It's not going to hurt for me to do this. Yeah. That's where I was.
Hey, and there's our churches are full of it.
Yep.
They're full of this fair weather, self-satisfied, compromising, worldly Christian. And it's not a place to play. Because when you have offended the God of the universe, who is your only hope for a blessed eternity, and he's the one you're on the bad side of, there's no worse place to be.
No, and he even said, again, in verse 17, just to recap one more time, he said, when the church of Laodicea, as we see today, says, I have need of nothing.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. I'm good
this.
To go.
I got this.
I got a little Jesus over here. I got a little bit. I can go out here and play, because if I just play a little bit, but I go to church, I'm all good.
Yeah.
But he said, you don't even know that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked.
Yeah.
Man.
And many people, if they'll be honest, if we'll do some self-inventory right now, we'll find that we fall in the Jesus game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm acting it out. And here is the ultimate end result. We read this verse last week, and this is, again, Jesus in his own words. He says, many will say to me in that day. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of judgment, when it's no longer something that may happen in the sweet by and by, but the day that you are physically standing before him, face to face, nothing to hide, nowhere to hide, and that's the day he's talking about. And he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And here's Jesus' response to the lukewarm person, the lukewarm, worldly, so-called Christian. He'll say to them, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You're a worker of lawlessness.
That is tragic. That is eternally tragic.
That is horrible. In Jesus' own statistics, he said 75% of those that stand before him in that day will be of those that he says, depart from me. And we get that number from the parable of the sower. Three out of the four soils that represents the heart of man would not receive the word. They had access to the word just like the 25% that would, but they would not grow fruit. So here's where we are, Wes, and that's the little review section. We took a little bit more time than I want, but we've got to spend some time hoping and praying that the Holy Spirit has grabbed a hold of some hearts out there. And there are some listeners that are identifying that they've been uncomfortable and dissatisfied with their life, and maybe the light's being shined on the fact that this is why, like it did for you.
Yeah,
there was that time where you just got sick of you, and you knew it wasn't working, and you got tired of the stuff you were turning to grab a hold of a moment of satisfaction, because it never lasted, never stayed, and you felt worse at the other end of it than you did when you were getting into it. The world never works. It never satisfies. And what's even worse than going to the world is playing with the church, trying to help that be a part of your satisfaction factor.
Yeah.
And somebody out there is wanting not to be in that place anymore.
Very much so. And I did not have any intention of going this direction, but when you were saying you know you were turning this way and you were turning that way, trying to grab hold of something to make me happy, that's what I was doing. I felt like I was grabbing a lifeline or a life rope that had been thrown over a cliff, and I was falling, and there was nothing but bottom below me. Every time I would reach up and try to grab that rope, it was like a rotten rope or a rotten lifeline, and it was just. I would get it in my hand, and it would just begin to crumble, and I would start to just about fall again. I'd reach up and try to grab a hold again of something else. I was chasing the world. I was chasing church. I was trying to do everything, but that rope kept dwindling away. But I know, I think it's Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They that wait. I looked at that one time, and I went back and looked several words back and where that word originated from. That word wait has an original meaning of an intertwining or an intertwisting. And what I began to think about was a rope or a cord that's three ply is not easily broken.
Right.
So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, if we are intertwined or braided into us in the center and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are completely braided and wrapped around us, that cord around us will not be broken. Nothing can get into us.
Yeah.
And we have that life cord that is not going to crumble when we reach up. We're constantly in the life cord, and Jesus said, I'm the way.
Right. It's a, you know, that's the end goal, is the relationship and a position in Christ that takes the game playing and the performance out of it, and you just get to rest in the person of Jesus. And so here is the invitation that Jesus gives to the Laodicean church. And so let's start there, because it starts there and it never goes away from this place. I mean, that's the good news. And so let's go to the same letter to the church. He's called them out. He said, get real. He said, you're lukewarm. He's even said, here's what you're saying about yourself. It ain't the truth. Here's what you need. It's me. You need to come get what you need from me because you're bankrupt and you don't even know it. And then he gives them the invitation in verse 20, which is the verse that's highlighted and underlined and boxed in my Bible, because, man, this is the good news. Here's gospel right here. Verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me.
There weren't any maybes in there.
No, that's pretty absolute. It is an invitation, and I love the word. I see the mental image. As soon as I start reading that, I see something that could, the end result of the movie that plays in my mind is either eternally sad or eternally glad, depending on what you do with the door, right? Because you're in the darkness of that room looking for an opportunity for something to change. And that truth seeker is out there, man. You're identifying that you're lukewarm. You're identifying that you're tired of playing the game and you need change. And Wes, you were in that place in your life where you identified all those things and you cried out for the change. The door was being knocked on.
Mm-hmm.
And you opened it. And the promise that he gave took place in your life as Christ came in and radically started chunking all the stuff out of that room he didn't want and making a brand new home for you to exist and live in with him. But if there's the potential for that to happen, there's also the potential for the person to hear the knock and hear the call and leave the door shut and sit in the struggle and the pain until that day that Jesus was talking about when he says, I don't know you. But we're going to assume that that person out there today is looking to open the door.
Yeah, because when we're sitting in that dark place and we're alone, the door's shut, Jesus is on the outside, and he's knocking. We hear the knock. We know something's taking place. But if we choose to stay there, then we are miserable. We're wretched.
Mm-hmm.
We're poor. We're blind.
Yeah.
And we're naked. He said so.
Yeah.
Because we choose to stay in that place, thinking we have him, not even realizing that he's on the outside.
Right. Well, how sad is it that the Savior of the church is on, in this paragraph, this passage, is on the outside of the church. You know what? Jesus didn't get up and leave the church on his own.
No.
He was removed.
Mm-hmm.
He was forced out of his own bride's, of his own home, in this concept, this illustration. But here he is knocking, desiring to get back in. Knocking, desiring to get back in. And so what the call is and the invitation, Truth Seeker, is an invitation to relationship. One of the things that I love to do is when I get a chance to go eat lunch with one of you guys during a work day. And it doesn't happen very often because, you know, most of us with Truth, all of us with Truth Infusion Ministries are bivocational. We're full-time ministers. We're full-time employees, too. But I love Wes when I get a chance to call and I'm available and you happen to be available and we get to meet for lunch.
Yeah.
You know? Because mm-hmm. it's a break in the work. It's a break in the struggle. And, man, it's a chance just to share and to sit down with a cup of coffee and a hamburger, whatever we're doing that day. And it's not about the food, man. It's just about being with you guys, you brothers, and just letting things go for an hour and just feeling the fellowship.
And I agree with you 100%, and that is an awesome thing at lunch. But I want to go one step further. A couple weeks ago, you sent me a quick text. I had a list of things I needed to do. You said, hey, you want to come over for dinner? It was out of a just total surprise to me. It caught me completely off guard. And I told my wife, she said, hey, you want to go? Let's go over to David's and eat dinner. And we were reading where Jesus said, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. We're
right.
talking about that being the evening meal.
Yeah.
The evening meal is pretty powerful after a long, hard day of work. And we had done a lot of stuff that day. And when you invited us to come over, take a load off, we didn't even have to cook. I asked you, what could I bring? You said, ain't nothing needed.
I think I even texted you and said, don't dress up. We're almost wearing pajamas over here.
You did.
So come comfortably. Right?
Come comfortably. And you said I didn't even need to bring anything. We came over. The meal was prepared. It was great. It was awesome. The fellowship was laughter. There was great
right.
conversation. It was just a good, awesome evening and a very relaxing time. And when Jesus says, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me, in that evening meal concept of, hey, you've worked. I know your works. But let me just come in and let me show you how I work. When Jesus does that, man, it's game over and it's game on.
Right. And that's the concept that Christ is trying to get across to the church, but really to us today. The problem here is a relationship problem.
Yes, it is.
One time I heard a guy say, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm,
and so this is a heart problem. If you're a lukewarm Christian, it's not that you're not performing good enough. It's not that you don't have enough, that you don't know enough Bible, that you haven't been to enough church services. You got to get past the checklists. This is about a personal relationship that you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even better than just a personal relationship, because you know what? The folks that we have personal relationships, the human relationships, let us down. We let them down. This is a relationship opportunity where there's no letdown.
Amen.
If you let him be who he is. And here's what Jesus is saying. I'm not asking nothing from you. I don't need your help to do what I do. I just want to come in where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we said this earlier before the show started, I think, or maybe it was last week, but the idea that he went to the cross, he pays the ultimate price, he's tortured and persecuted in a way that no man has ever experienced, he bears every sin from all time, he pays the penalty and the price with his life, he builds the bridge of relationship, he makes access available on Calvary so that he can give us the opportunity to open the door for him.
Amen. Amen. It is all about Jesus.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah.
And if we would just accept him in that capacity of who he is, everything else would be handled. Acts 17:28.
Yeah, go to that verse. Right.
Acts 17:28 even says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Man, that's just, that's it.
That's everything.
That is it.
That's everything.
And where are we in Him? I can't help but ask you to touch on this just for a minute. You got to do it. In Him is Christ, and Christ is the mercy seat.
Yeah. Yeah, we find that concept in several places, but the one that's really been alive in us here lately comes out of Psalms 91. The very first verse, in the first half of the first verse, says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." So I don't have time to teach all of it, but here's what it means. The secret place of the Most High, ultimately what that means is the presence of God. Mm-hmm. It's talking about the Holy of Holies, but the thing that made the Holy of Holies special is God's presence was there. And so it's He who dwells in the presence of God. So we have to talk about the dwell part. And the Hebrew word in Psalm 91 for dwell, it means to have a seat, to sit down the way you guys got to do when you came over that night. You didn't have to stand stiff, and it was no formal dinner. We lounged. We took a load off. You know, somebody was on the in the recliner, and somebody was laying back on the couch, and we relax. And that's what that word means. It means to sit down and relax and take a load off. So here's the verse. He who sits down in the presence of God. And the thing I tried to bring out in that teaching, what God gave me, was my question, my thought was, God, where do I sit? In the Holy of Holies, there's only one piece of furniture. It's the Ark of the Covenant. There's no chair in here. And the Lord said, no, David, there's no chair, but there is a seat. There is a seat, because the lid of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. And then when we take that to Romans chapter 3, there's a verse in about verse 24, 25, where Paul speaking of the concept of coming to the Lord and salvation and having faith in Jesus Christ, and he says that God made Jesus the propitiation for our sin in His blood. And I found out that word propitiation is the Greek word which means mercy seat.
Hallelujah.
Here's what he's saying. Jesus is the mercy seat. Have a seat in Christ. He's already done the work. What's the words to the song, The Well? I've done all the work, but you keep on working. Right? That is all of us. You know, I'm here to give you rest. You don't sit down. I've provided everything. You're looking for provision. Why don't you come over here and take a load off?
Yes.
Have a seat. Sit down. Rest in me. In me. When you are in me, you're seated in the presence of God. You're seated in His only begotten Son. And everything that is true of Christ suddenly becomes true of you when you are in Him.
We will be on fire.
Yeah, He wants us to be hot.
Yes.
Right? So finish that thought.
We will be on fire because His fire of who He is will consume us. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones.
Yeah.
It's warming me from the inside. It's got to explode. It's got to come out of me.
Yeah.
We will no longer have to worry about being lukewarm. We certainly won't have to worry about being cold and dark anymore, because in the mercy seat, in Christ Jesus, in His finished work at Calvary, mm-hmm. we are complete. We are hot,
yes.
We are resting, and we are filled with His presence and His presence in us. Man, what a beautiful picture.
Man, and so here's what I know, because I have been one of these people, and at times I still am. Here's what I believe that some people are doing right now as they're listening to this. Maybe they have identified that they're guilty of living a lukewarm life. Then they hear us speak of sitting down in Christ and the fullness of what that relationship is, and that everything you need is found there, and all the promises of Psalm 91 become yours when you're seated in the presence of God in Christ. And they say, yes, I want that. And their next thought is, so what do I need to do? Right?
Excellent question.
But that is where we are. I mean, when we identify, I'm at this point and I need to be at point B, how do I get from here to there? You're telling me sit down. What does that even mean? How do I do that? Okay, can I share this verse with you, because I think we'll be able to conclude with this concept and this thought. Jesus again, man, I love it, the fact that all these verses have been Christ speaking to us. Jesus again in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, a man has just come to Jesus and he has asked Jesus a very good question. He says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" What's the number one commandment? Jesus says this in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart with all your soul, with all your mind. One of the other gospel writers adds in, with all your strength. Here's what I want to bring out. If you're sitting there saying, I'm lukewarm, I want to sit down in Christ, I want to open the door, I want him to come in, I want that relationship thing to happen, I want to be warm, I want to leave this path behind. What do I do? What do I do? Here's what Jesus says. Love him. Let's just boil this down and simplify it. It's a love relationship.
It is that simple. It really is that simple.
Love him not for what you can get from him.
Nope.
Love him not for what he can do for you. Love him because he is worthy of love.
Mm-hmm.
Love him because he stood on the outside of the door and knocked till his knuckles were bleeding and was never going to leave until that day came. He was going to give you every opportunity to answer. He stood there knocking. Hey, there's the old song that says, he was there all the time. He was there all the time, patiently waiting in line. He was there all the time. Can we just say this to you as we conclude? It's just about love.
And he is love.
Man, love him with all your heart. Give it all to him. You know what one preacher said? I think it was Bill Say. I heard him say it this way. Or maybe I think it was actually not Bill Say. It was Steve Parrish. Said, Lord of all or not Lord at all.
Yep.
That's it. You can't ask him to be Lord over the parts of your life you want fixed. You either give him all of you and sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Or you keep holding on to what you've been holding on to and keep him on the outside knocking. Aren't you tired of doing it halfway? Why don't you give it up and just say, hey, I want to learn how to love you. If you'll just pray a real honest prayer, I'm tired of the way it is and I want to learn to love you. Man, he's just waiting for you. Just crack the door. I dare you. See if he doesn't bust up in there and serve you up a lunch you just ain't never had before. Amen.
He'll serve you dinner.
Hey, Wes, I love you, brother. And to all of you out there, y'all keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.